Hallelujah. Lord, we bless you tonight. Father, we honor you and magnify your name. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. Father, we need help tonight. We want you. We want your plans. We want your thoughts, your ideas, your ways. So, Father, I thank you as I humble myself. Lord, I make myself willing towards you. Father, I thank you as I open my mouth, you'll fill it. Father, I thank you, I'll speak words from heaven. Father, I thank you, I'll hit bullseyes in people's hearts. And it won't be because I know what to say or what to do. It'll be because you knew what to say and do. So, Father, we give you the praise and glory. We thank you for the increase that is to come from this service. And, Father, we'll always give you the glory. Father, for you are the vine. We are just branches. Apart from you, we can do nothing. So, Father, we thank you for help tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Mouth's dry tonight. I don't know what's going on. Spitting cotton up here. Woo! Hallelujah. Well, anyways, if you have your Bibles, go to Psalms 127, verse 1. Psalms 127 and verse 1 is where we're going to start. I've known for a little while that we were going to, I believe this is going to move into a series. I just don't know how long, but we were to share this here in this church. And so we're going to be blessed from this. Change your whole life. Psalms 127, verse 1 says this: Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. That word vain is emptiness, worthlessness. That they labor in vain who build it. And that's part of the verse I want to see there is, the Bible says unless God builds the house, it's worthless. Yeah. Well, let's talk about the house of your life as well. Unless God's building your life, it's worthlessness. Yeah. Amen? Now, a couple things we can look at to point that out is, number one, you know, people are down here on earth living for themselves, and they're going to be in for a shock when they stand before Jesus. Yeah. Amen? That's a real thing. The Bible says we'll stand before him, and we'll be judged for things done in the body. So many people are caught up in their stuff, in their things. And really, our stuff and our things, now, yes, God wants us blessed. God wants us to enjoy life. Don't misunderstand me. But not for the sake of putting his kingdom aside. Not for the sake of doing his plans, his purposes. We get one shot at this, amen? The other reason why it's empty and worthlessness is, if you don't do it God's way, I'm going to show you here in a second. God has a way for you. God has a plan for you. You'll never hit the mark of what he has for you on this earth. Okay. Amen. You won't. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord, that means the blessing of doing it his way, going his direction, it makes you rich. Yeah. Now, that's not just financially rich and well supplied. That's rich in your thoughts, rich in your family, rich in favor, rich in blessing, rich in protection. The blessing of the Lord makes rich and addeth no sorrow. See, people all over America, as Christians all over the world, are doing it their own way, and there's sorrow in their life. They just don't do it God's way. Amen. I'm telling you the truth. See, people pray to him. They cry out to him. They sit back and wait for him to move. And if they don't do things God's way, not going to happen. I'm going to show you. That's what we're talking about here in this series is going God's way. So many people do things their own way. And it leads to frustration, leads to hurt, leads to sorrow. Until you sell out to do things God's way. I'll just tell you a little testimony. You know, I was, I had 26 jobs in 2 years. Had met 4 or 5 different colleges. And, you know, you lose track at some point. I think I counted the other day, it was 5, and because someone was saying 5, and I had rattled them off, you know, and just lost, you know, but I got saved and born again. But when I got saved, I pretty much just accepted the fire insurance. What do I mean by that? Saved from hell. I don't really think I made him my Lord because I wasn't going to do what he wanted me to do, you know. I wasn't going to even seek to find out what he wanted me to do because I was terrified, you know the story, that he would send me to China or Africa. To be a missionary. And that seems funny, But it's true that I was terrified. I would not give my heart to him. I would not sell out to go his way because I was convinced in my head. It was just lies from the enemy. And let me tell you something. As a born-again Christian, I was sick. I was broke. I was in turmoil in my mind and in my emotions. There was no favor. Things were not working out for me. It was a mess. Why? The blessing of the Lord makes rich. Not the blessing of your way. See, what people do is say, here's what I want to do, Lord. Here's my life. Lay it at the altar. Bless it. Oh, no, no, no. Meanwhile, they sit back. Chaos in their families. Chaos in their finances. Chaos in their health. Chaos in their mind. And they're saying, God's got this. God's going to do it. God's got this. God's going to swoop in. No, that's you taking your stuff to him. That's what I was doing. Lord, I want all the blessings of abundant life. I want all the blessings of your way, but I want to do it my way. Well, it didn't work that way. Finally, I got sick and tired of being sick and tired. Until you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, you won't make a change. Nope, you'll sit back in your religion, and you'll sit back on your heels and sit back on your duff. Just what good old religion says, that God's going to do it. Why? Because I'm a good person and I love him and I cry when worship comes on and I lift my hands so much my arms start to tremble. I'll tell you the dumb thoughts people get. No, you got to do things his way. And I was sick and tired of being sick and tired, so I threw my hands up in the air about 4:30 in the morning. My 1990 Nissan pickup driving to Falconer, New York. To work at the general store, and I slammed my hands on the steering wheel. I said, fine, I'll go to China or Africa. It's got to be better than this. And it's true. Wherever God's plan is for you is where the blessing is. In God's plan is the peace, the joy, the money, the prosperity, the health, the victory. And I'll show you that tonight. So that's what we're talking about a little bit. God wants you blessed. I want you blessed. But God, unless the Lord builds, God's looking to construct your life. He's looking to construct your life, amen? But how many of you know the construction companies don't just show up and force themselves in your house? They don't. They don't just come in and just do whatever they want. You got to sign off on things. You got to allow them to work. Well, it's the same with God. He's not going to force his plan on you, but I'm telling you, it's best, but I don't take my word for it. Let's prove it tonight. Go to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. And while you're turning, I'm going to keep drinking. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Hallelujah. I'm excited about this. Change your life forever. If you don't like that, you might as well just leave. I'm telling you, this will change your life forever. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Look what God says here. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. So he's telling you where to trust him with. And he says, lean not. So he says, trust me with this, don't trust with this. Lean not into your own understanding. What's your own understanding? Your thoughts, your ways, your ideas, what you think, your opinions, your philosophies, whatever you want. No, doesn't say to trust in the Lord with those things. And then it goes on to say in verse 6, in all your ways, in all your ways, where do I live? Who do I marry? What job do I take? What do I do about this? How do I raise my kids? What do I do with my money? In all your ways. See, what people do is say, I have a plan. You know what my plan was? My plan, if I could have had it my way, this is just the truth, I would be living on a farm in Iowa with some kind of job, I don't care if the house, whatever would allow me to just do this, and I would take off work the whole month of November and whitetail hunt in the best state of whitetail hunting in America and just be just a hermit in a little cabin. But God said, nope, that's not your that's not my plan for you, amen? Pastor Tim of the Jamestown Church, he went to sailing school. Became a captain, loved being on the water. Lord told him, that's not my plan for you. Well, guess what? Old Pastor Mikey and Pastor Timmy, that's what his mom calls him, Timmy. Pastor Mike and Pastor Timmy have a choice. Do it God's way or do it their way? Well, we decided to do it God's way, and guess what? We're blessed. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why? It's the best thing you can do. He says, trust in me with all your heart, lean on your understanding, in all your ways acknowledge me. He says, in everything, in every decision, in everything you do, acknowledge me. He says, if you do that, I'll direct your paths. Amen. Now, if you think religiously or if you have a wrong idea of God, you might not want him directing your paths. Because a lot of people, and the devil hops on these thoughts, the devil hops on this idea, because the devil wants you to not do it God's way. But the devil will tell you, if you do it God's way, that's when the fun stops. That's when life gets hard and difficult. That's when, you know, God's trying to make it miserable for me. It's not the best. I don't get to have fun. I'm going to tell you something. The day I threw my hands up in the air and said, Lord, I'll do whatever you want, is the day life got fun. Amen? Amen? You want to know why doing it your way is not as fun as doing it God's way? You don't know as much as him. You're not as wise as him. You're not as smart as him. You can't see in the future like he can. You don't know what's up around the next corner. You don't know what's up around the next bend. You don't know, but he does. Amen. Hallelujah. But again, if you have a wrong idea of him, so I want to dispel those thoughts here tonight, because God, look at this verse here. You know what God's endeavoring to do? He's saying, let me help you. That's what that verse is saying. It's an invitation from the Almighty God saying, let me help your life. I'll direct your life. Well, it's not that big of a deal if you don't understand how he directs your life. So you want to see how he directs your life? Amen. Go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. He says, I'll direct your paths. I told the story. I went on a trip. I might as well just tell on him. I already told you his nickname, Timmy. I went on a hunting trip with Pastor Tim Stallman, and he likes to drive. He refuses to let anyone else drive when he's with him, and I'm fine with that because I like to ride. But the problem is when I ride, I mean, I fall asleep within like the first 10 minutes, and he just kept waking me up, saying I was a bad passenger. I said, well, you're not going to let me drive. You got to let me do something over here. Let me sleep. And it was funny because we were going up to New Brunswick, Canada, to look for black bears. And Pastor Tim refused to use the GPS. And we just kept ending up in the wrong exits, in the wrong towns. And I just kept saying, will you just use the GPS? No, we don't need that thing. No, we don't need that thing. We don't need that thing. And we just kept going in the wrong places, the wrong places, the wrong places. Listen, God's endeavoring to guide you into the right places. Don't be stubborn like him. People do things their own way all the time, and they go through things unnecessarily. They waste time. Things happen unnecessarily. It doesn't have to be that way. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thanks for helping us, Pastor Mike. You're welcome. My pleasure. That's why I'm here. Hallelujah. I'm glad to do it. Praise God. He wants to bless you. Amen. He's endeavoring to bless you. Praise God. Now, go. We said Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Look what this verse says here. For we are his, God's workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, look at the Amplified verse, translation of this verse. If we could pull the Amplified up. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Hallelujah. Look what it says here. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand. Now, this is what we're talking about. Remember what he said in Proverbs 3 and verse 6. He said, if you'll acknowledge me and trust me with your heart, I'll direct your paths. Well, remember we said a lot of people don't want God to direct their paths because they think, oh, man, everything I want to do is down the drain. Listen, what you want to do is not as high and as blessed as what he wants you to do. What he has for you. Praise God. And so he says here, he's predestined and planned beforehand for us. Notice this. Taking paths. Didn't he say direct our paths? Taking paths which he prepared ahead of time. Now, what do his paths that he prepared ahead of time lead to? Look at this. That we should walk in them, should, not everybody will, but he said we should, living the good life. Oh, I don't want to go God's way. What's wrong with a good life? Do you know what a good life is? A good life's not full of depression. A good life's not full of turmoil. A good life's not full of frustrations. A good life's not full of crisis. A good life's not full of tragedies. He says, living the good life, which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. God is offering you. He rolls out the red carpet and says, go on my path and my plan. It will lead you into the good life. The good life is where the money is. The good life is where the favor is. The good life is where the health is, the protection, the blessings, the open doors, all that you need. It's called abundant life, ladies and gentlemen. Hallelujah. That's what he's saying and offering to you. And he says, how are you going to get there? You're going to trust me with your heart. You're going to acknowledge me with all your ways, and I'm going to lead you on that path. Amen. What's he saying? Stay on my path. Stay on my path. It'll lead to blessings. Hallelujah. Would you like to hear a little story about Abby? She's my 6-year-old. Oh, what a spunk that kid is. Oh, man, I love it. And anyways, the Bible says if we take his path, it'll lead to the good life. Abby has been officially banned from going in the woods with me. I have banned her. She is not allowed anymore. I can't. We get out there, and 10 minutes later, she's whining and crying to go home. I just don't want to deal with it. Stay home next time. But anyways, when she would go out there with me, you know, she's little, and even before she was banned for life, for right now, we might take away that life banishment here as she gets older, because I do want to hunt with her, and she's excited to go. You know, she can hunt when she turns 7 in Pennsylvania, and she's already raring to go. We got her getting her ready to shoot. Oh, I can't wait. I just don't know how I'm going to keep her still. Actually, I do know how I'm going to keep her still. I bought a blind, and as long as I put her in that blind with a bag full of snacks, she'll sit there all day. That kid eats nonstop. We take her to Caleb's baseball games, and the thing you got to do to keep her happy is just keep feeding her. Just keep feeding her. We're good. So that's what I'll do for in the blind. But she was little, you know, she'd go in the woods with me, and I'd say to her, okay, Abby, now stay with me. Stay right with Daddy, because, you know, there's prickers, and there's things that she doesn't know about, just like there's things up ahead you don't know about. There's things in your life up ahead and pitfalls that you don't know about. He does. You know what? He's already been to your future and back. And I'd tell Abby, stay behind me. And then she'd be right with me, either holding my hand or right behind me, and I'd see a pricker bush that she would be oblivious to. And I'd say, okay, either I'd step on that and step it down, or I'd say, let's go around it. And guess what? She wouldn't get hurt. Or we'd walk, and there, she wouldn't see like a log that was going to trip her up. I'd say, no, let's go around that, or I'll pick you up and get you over that thing. How do you know? Sometimes you're going to need God to pick you up and get you over some things. Amen. And then there'd be times we'd walk and there's going to be a big hole she's going to fall in. She's just oblivious, you know, doing her thing, whatever Abby does. I don't know what's in that mind, but whatever she does, that's what she does. And I say, no, let's watch out for that hole. But then there'd be times when Abby would decide to go off on her own. That Abby would decide to either go out in front of Dad, which people do with God, or go off the path. And guess what? Abby get caught in the prickers. Abby fall down and hurt herself. Abby fall in a hole. Abby get muddy. Abby get cut up and get bloodied by a stick that hit her in the face that she didn't see, or fall down. Never was necessary. You know what if Abby would have been laying there? Oh, this is going to hit home. Abby's laying there crying. I say, go this way. Abby goes this way. Bam, hits her in the face. She's tangled in the prickers, cuts everywhere, you know, bleeding, crying. Look what the devil did to me, Dad. Oh, Abby, the devil didn't do anything to you. You did it yourself. How? Didn't stay on Daddy's path. Didn't stay in Daddy's plan, praise God. Hallelujah. Now, I have to say this because it just came up out of my heart. The first and foremost thing that God's path and plan for you is his word. If you won't be a doer of the word, don't expect to be blessed. You say, wow, that's harsh. No, Jesus said, he that does the word is a wise man. He that doesn't do the word is a fool. You know what a synonym of fool is? And this isn't the nicest word to say, but it's true and it gets the point home. Stupid. Jesus said, if you don't do the word, he didn't say, it'll be all right. He didn't say that. His path and plan is his word. If you don't do the word, he said, guess what? There's going to be a fall, and great will be the fall. Jesus didn't say, it'll be okay. There's grace, and there's a grace period for that, and everything's fine. It's like I tell Abby, stay in Daddy's path. That's Daddy's word. And she goes off. When she goes off and does things her own way, I can't protect her anymore. I can't keep her from everything. If she stays right with me, I can. Hallelujah. People refuse to do the word. They wonder why hell on earth is in their life. Financially, they wonder, it's just not, God, bless me. They don't do the word financially. Bible says without a shepherd, people don't attend church, aren't faithful in church. The Bible says they that are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. Why aren't I flourishing in life? You're not planted. When I say you, I'm talking the body of Christ, you know, as Christians. I don't know who I pointed at. Who got that point? I didn't mean it to be you. It's in general. Bible says without a shepherd in Matthew chapter 9. This is what Jesus said. Your life would be scattered in faith. The Amplified says dejected, harassed, bewildered, distressed, helpless sheep without a shepherd. And people continue to not sit under the watering of the word. They have every excuse. They let the world, they let the devil. It doesn't matter. Your job is to do the word first and foremost. Amen. And when you don't do it, there's falls and there's crashes. I'm sorry, Abby, I told you stay with me. I told you stay with me. Jesus told you do the word. God says do my path. Amen. Until you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, you won't make an adjustment and a change in your life. Do you think it's convenient? For me, every Saturday, my kids go to school all week. My kids don't get me on the weekend to drive an hour one way and an hour back to seek God and pray and to hear him deliver a message. Do you think that's convenient to have to wake up the next morning, drive another hour back? That's not convenient, but you know what? It's right, and that's what God wants for me. Well, it's not convenient to come to church. It's not convenient to do this with my family. Doing the word at all cost is worth it. Amen. You don't get a pass because life is difficult. You don't get a pass because it's inconvenient. You don't get a pass because you got to rearrange things. You don't get a pass because you're apathetic or casual or don't want to. You can choose to not follow the word, but if you do, Jesus said, Matthew 7, 24 through 27, not going to look good. I had to get all that out. Because when there's utterance for it, you say it. And I refuse to not say what the word says. I don't care if it's popular. I don't care if it steps on toes. I don't give a rip. God doesn't change his word for you. Jesus didn't say, if you don't do the word, you're a fool, there's a crash. But if life's hard and things are difficult and things are inconvenient, and I'll get it and I'll give you a free pass. Nope. In fact, let me tell you something. God often required people, told them his word, and it required great effort in the natural to carry that out. Yeah. Let me give you an example. Abraham, go kill your son. Come on. Abraham, go kill your son. Oh, that's an easy one. That's convenient. That fits the plan. That's nice to go home and tell Sarah. Hey, Sarah, guess what God said we're to do? I'm supposed to take Isaac up on the mountain and sacrifice him. Now, for those of you that don't know the story, he didn't have to do that. God's intention was never to do that. Hey, Noah, I know it doesn't rain, but build a boat. I'm just telling you. Hey, woman, one meal left for you and your child. Give it to the prophet. Oh, that's easy and convenient. But guess what? All the people that got through the inconveniences, that had their sights set on God's word no matter what, were all blessed afterwards. Amen. Whatever he says, do it. Isn't that what Mary told the servants at the wedding? Whatever he says, do it. Why? Whatever he says. The word, if you think the word's always going to be convenient, you know why the word's not convenient? Because we get too busy and we have carnal lives. We get too busy with our stuff and things. Meanwhile, life is going down the tubes and things are... There's a better plan for you. He says it's his path, the good life, prearranged. But guess where that life is? On his path. And you can't separate the word from his path. The word is the GPS. The word is the compass. It's telling you exactly where to go. Just like a natural GPS. Don't turn right and you keep going straight. Well, it told you to turn right. Go left and you keep going straight or turn right. The word is your compass. What does he say? Thy word is a light unto thy path, a lamp unto my feet. What's that mean? It's guiding you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, anyways, we said that God wants to bless you on his path. So is his path worth it? I don't know. Does the good life sound good to you? Yeah. Blessing with your kids, blessing in your family, blessing in your money. It sounds good to me. Amen. Hallelujah. Go to 3 John verse 2. 3 John verse 2. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. My lips might just stick together tonight. And then somebody needs to teach me sign language real quick because I might not be able to talk up here. 3 John 2 says, Beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper. We saw that on Tuesday night. I wish above all things that you prosper. Well, prosperity doesn't just fall into your lap. But look at Isaiah 48 and 17. Remember what I said. God is desiring to lead you. God is desiring to direct your paths. Where? Into the good life. Isaiah 48, 17. Thus says the Lord thy God, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth you to profit. Which teacheth you to profit. So he says, my desire is that you profit, and I'll teach you how to get into it. What it say over there in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17? It is the Lord that gives you the power to get wealth. He says, I'll teach you to profit, which, here it is, leadeth you by the way that you should go. Now, most people don't go his way. I can't tell you why it comes up in my heart so much, but I got to obey it. This dumb idea that religion has just bombarded with people and doused people with, that if you just love him and are a good person, he's just going to swoop in and do it. No, he's going to say, this is the path. It's good. Your choice to stay on it or not. And we see people in the Word. You know one that just jumps to my mind is Jonah. God said, hey, Jonah, my path for you is Nineveh. Jonah said, that's not my path for me. That's not my plan for me. Your path's this way, God. I'm going this way. Okay, bye, Abby. Have fun with that. Why? Because on his path is the prosperity, on his path is the good life. Didn't work out well for Jonah, did it? No, it didn't. Go to Psalm 23. Praise God. I love preaching about this. Love it because I want to help people. I'm tired of seeing the devil hurt people. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want or lack. Now look at this, verse 2. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Where is he leading people? The green pastures. You know what green pastures represent? Peace. Oh, people lack peace in their lives. Turmoil and chaos, they do. Why? Not being led by God. God's leading never takes you down turmoil. God's leading never takes you to chaos. Amen. It's the truth. Say, are you beating people up? No, I'm trying to pull you back onto God's path. Amen. Abby, get over here. Well, am I mad at her? No. Get over in my path. I know you're safe. That's what's happening here tonight. Praise God. Psalm 23, verse 2, he leads me beside green pasture. Notice this. He leads me beside the chaotic and turmoil-filled waters. No, he leads. What's he leading? He leads on his path. Why? Wherever he goes is his path. He's leading. Where's it going? Green pastures. Still waters. Calmness. Praise God. Woo-wee. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Glory to God. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and thy staff, they comfort me. See, what's that saying? Even when you follow him and the tests and trials come, you'll get out of them. Why? He's with you. Amen. Yeah, see, that's... When daddy comes up to a test and a trial in the woods of prickers or holes or logs, it's okay. We'll get through. Why? Daddy's with you. Let me just pick you up, Abby. Carry you over this. But, Abby, if you're off doing your own thing and you encounter the prickers in the hole, you're on your own. But he says, even when I encounter tests and trials, I'm not going to fear. I'm okay. Why? God's with me. praise God. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. You're darn right they will when you're walking in God's path. You want goodness and mercy to follow you? Go in God's path, God's plan. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Praise God. Amen. So he's saying here, and I didn't intend to talk about the word, and I'm going to go off of that, but first and foremost, God's path and God's plan for you is his word. Amen? It's his word. Do I have to tithe? Oh, Lord, tell me, do I have to tithe? The word already says it. Am I supposed to be faithful and have my family in church? The word already tells you the answer to that. Am I to walk in love and treat this? The word already tells you that. Come on. The word is first and foremost. And people, this is God's path, God's GPS. And what are people doing? Be in church. No, life's too hard. Life's too difficult. Too much going on. Tithe. No, it's just not convenient for me to tithe. God's going that way, going this way. Who knows what you're encountering? Amen. People suffer and they don't need to. People go through things and God's hands are tied. God's hands are tied. Why? He can't violate this. He can't violate this. If Jesus said you don't do it God's way and you do it the word's way, and it's like the one person who their life was just hell on earth, young gentleman from South Dayton Church, no longer goes there. And I had met with him 3 separate times at lunches. I drove to him an hour away, bought his lunch to be a blessing to him, and told him, you want life to change? The first thing you need to do is plant in church. I met one time with a woman who struggled with addiction. And I met with her 3 separate times. I'll get back to that gentleman. 3 separate times, struggled with addiction. And I said, you want your life to change? Just come and sit in the seat. First thing you do is sit in the seat, because Jesus said, until you do, your life's going to be scattered, dejected, or... 6 months passed, nothing happened. Met again. Tell the same thing. Life's not changing, life's getting harder. I don't have anything different for you. Sit in a seat first, plant, plant, plant. People want it a different way. There is no different way. It's the word. He's not going to change his word. Jesus said, I gave you a pastor. The first thing he did when he went to heaven was he gave gifts to men. The shepherd is the one of the 5 gifts. He said, I gave gifts. The apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the evangelist, and teacher. And the only one, he said, you're scattered and faint, dejected, harassed, bewildered, distressed, helpless without a shepherd, is not the apostle, is not the prophet, is not the evangelist, is not the teacher. The shepherd, the pastor. And I told her again, we met again a 3rd time. I'm just struggling so bad. Life's getting worse. What do I do? Sit in a seat. I'm going through all this stuff, and life is so hard for me, and that's your advice for me? It's your help. I don't know what else to do. So I'm sitting there with that gentleman. His finances are a mess. He got into legal trouble, you know, and things, and I tell him, God can turn that around. There's no problem bigger than God. But if you don't cooperate with God, you don't get his power. You don't. Amen. And, you know, a good way to prove that is not everybody gets saved. And God wants everybody to get saved. And he knows that if people don't get saved, he knows where they end up. Why doesn't he just save them? Because he can't. He's got to stick with his word. And I sat there with that person 3 times at lunch, told him the same exact thing. I said, brother, I said, it ain't going to change until you plant in church and get faithful. Hear the word of God. Get watered by the word. That's what we're talking about in South Dayton, the parable of the sower, and how the word causes the growth and the word sown on people. And some people want the blessing different. And I said, yeah, I do it God's way. Okay, I'm good. And he'd start off like a ball of fire first couple weeks, you know, then gone like the wind. And he went through some other things, and I hadn't seen him for a while. I'd been told by a family member, so I reached out to him through text message. I said, well, I just want you to know I miss you and care about you. And I hope everything's going okay, you know. And he wrote back, oh, don't worry, Pastor Mike. God's got it. And up from my spirit, the words came, no, he don't. No, he don't. I told this one time to somebody, and they looked at me like I was being harsh with them. If Jesus says, if you're not planted and faithful to be under a shepherd and to plant in the local church, if Jesus said that, and he said the result will be scattered, faint, dejected, harassed, bewildered, distressed, helpless, sheep without a shepherd, I said, how do you think your life can rise above scattered, dejected, harassed, bewildered, distressed, helpless, scattered and faint, like sheep without a shepherd? Why do you think your life and what you're going through will trump what he said when you're not doing what he says, but yet you want the blessing even though you're not doing it? It's not going to work, and it never does. And people keep going on the same mountain. And I tell them, I say, this is what you got to do. This is what you got to do. Just do it. And it would work. It would work. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So he said, I'll teach you how to prosper. He said, I will lead you by still waters, green pastures, goodness and mercy, all these blessings, the good life. Does that sound good? But what about the devil telling you, oh, don't sell it to God. Don't do it God's way. Don't go God's way. I'm not one of those church people. That's not for me. Oh, the good life's not for you? It's like the one girl I ministered to one day. She told me, I hate Jesus. I don't want anything to do that. Jesus said, then you don't know him. I said, nobody hates love of kindness and mercy and someone that just wants to bless you. I said, the Jesus that you're talking about is the Jesus you don't know. And when people stay away from God's path and God's plan, they have a wrong idea of what that means. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not saying it doesn't come without sacrifice. Listen, I'm not trying to just paint this picture that doesn't come without sacrifice, but the sacrifice is worth it. Jesus said, he who loses his life, well, that can be hard for people to lose their life. He said, they're the ones that will gain it. But the one that tries to save their life, what's that mean? Do it my own way. Hang on to my own ways. I want it my way or the highway. The Bible says they're going to lose it. What's that called? Sorrow. What's that called? Crash. Amen. This is why these seeker-sensitive churches don't talk about this stuff, because it doesn't keep the seats filled. But if I don't tell you the truth, and you just go home and continue in your dull Christianity of, it's just all going to work out, it's just all tiptoeing through the tulips, like it's all just a bed of roses and a path of daisies to walk over. And he says, oh, God's going to do it. God's going to do it. No, God will do it when you do your part. There's a God side and a man side. Salvation, God side, man side. God saved you, sent Jesus to the cross. Jesus went to the cross. But then man to receive it had to do with something. Yeah. Amen. Why'd you get me all stirred up tonight? Go to Romans 8 and verse 14. Now, we want to go on his path. Well, remember what he said. Remember, the words first. But he said what? Trust in me with all your heart. And at times you'll find this. He will actually, for something you're going through, direct you to the word. He'll speak to your heart. Because remember he said, trust in me with all your heart. Lean not on your understanding. Acknowledge me and I'll direct you. Sometimes the direction, now there's times like, is that the right person to marry? Is that the right job to take? Is that the right house to take? Is that the right place to move? There's no scripture. There's principles in the word about seeking him and things we can narrow things down about a spouse and what to do in life and things that wouldn't take you out of church and take you out of the word. There's things, but there's not specifics on certain things. But he's going to give us specifics now. He says, if you'll acknowledge me, I'll direct your paths, and either he'll direct you to the word or he'll what? He'll speak to your heart. Trust in me with all your heart. Now, Romans 8 and verse 14. Remember, God's endeavoring to lead you. Lead you where? The good life. The still waters, the green pastures, prosperity. Remember, we looked at all those places where he said, I'll lead you into these things. It says in verse 14, for as many as are led. Well, there it is, led. How? When I take Abby by the hand, what am I doing? I'm leading her. And you know what I don't do with her? I never lead her into the prickers. Oh, there's a pricker bush up there. This will be funny. Hey, Abby, keep walking. What kind of a dad would that be? Oh, Abby, there's a hole. Or not. Oh, Abby, look at this flat ground up here. Run up in there. Doop, down the hole. Never would do that. He's always trying to lead you into good things. And he says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I think about this, you know, I played sports and stuff, and it's the best example that comes to me, and it drives the point home. He said, I'll lead you. See, the New Testament, God leads a different way than he did the Old Testament. Why? The Spirit of God wasn't inside people in the Old Testament. I had a lady one time tell me, I said, I saw your business for sale. I didn't know it was going to be for sale. Well, it might be for sale. It might not be for sale. I said, but there's a for sale sign up front. She said, well, I put it for sale, and if somebody buys it, that tells me that was God's will. If somebody doesn't buy it, then I know God doesn't want me to sell it. She goes, I'm laying out my fleece. I said, oh, actually, I take that back. I said this in my head. I did not say this to her because the Holy Ghost said she can't be helped. Wouldn't listen to me. Why? Because it was, what's interesting is it was that lady that one time told me, you're my pastor, but then was mad I didn't start a youth group, and I talked to her about submitting. The Holy Ghost was already telling me months before, don't correct her on this, she won't receive it, and I didn't even know what was going to happen. And so in my head I thought, oh, you're living by the Old Testament, that's too bad. I live by a higher and a better covenant. There's no laying out fleeces anymore, testing the waters to see what God's, that's not how we do it. Because what happened in the Old Testament, remember, they laid out a fleece. And if it was wet in the morning, the fleece was wet in the morning, and the ground was dry, it was God. Or if the ground was dry and the fleece happened to be wet, they knew it was God. Well, they didn't have the Holy Ghost on the inside of them. Now in the New Testament, God says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, sons and daughters of God, the ones that are led by the Spirit. So yeah, Pastor Mike, I want the good life. I want green pastures. I want still waters. I want prosperity. I want the abundant life. I want God's way. You already showed me it's good. It's blessed. It's blessing. No sorrow. Okay, well, you got to play by the rules. I was a baseball player, you know. That was my favorite sport growing up. And I would play shortstop, and I'd get a ground ball, and I'd field that ground ball. And you know what I didn't do with that ground ball? Start bouncing it and shoot it. It's pretty good form. I was trying to show Caleb how to shoot a basketball the other day, and he's like this. I'm like, boy, that's not how you do it. He said, Dad, this is how I do it. I said, fine, do it your own way. You're wrong. I said, it's like this. He's like, this. I don't think basketball is going to be his thing. But I didn't. Or someone, the outfielder catches it, and they take a couple steps. They take three steps. Traveling! That's basketball rules. You can't play basketball rules with baseball rules. If you try to play football rules, Tom Brady drops back for the ball, and then all of a sudden he starts trying to dribble that thing. No. If you try to play another sport with different rules, you're going to fail and not succeed in that. And many Christians are trying to get the blessings of God, but they don't play by his rules. How's playing by his rules? Being led by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Being led by the Holy Ghost. Go to Proverbs 20 and verse 27. This will help you. This will keep you safe. This will get you into things. This will get you out of things. Proverbs 20 and verse 27. Now remember, when there's boldness and stuff spoken, don't you dare get mad at me. Because I'm the one up here shouting this from the rooftops trying to help you. Listen, until we realize, remember I preached a message weeks ago on being correctable? For those of you that get mad and get your feathers ruffled and get hot under the collar at me, you need to go back and listen to that message. The word always comes with correction. If you don't want correction, you don't want the word. I'm sorry to tell you, it's just the truth. And we have a lot of Christians that don't want the word. The Bible tells us that. 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says they're going to go away from sound doctrine. Sound doctrine, the Bible says, is laced with correction, reproof, rebuking, and they're going to go to itching ears, where what? I'm going to find a preacher. It's like the person that told me that they're, I don't want to say the words, but man and a man, woman and woman. They said, well, it's not a sin, and I found a preacher who says it's okay. Well, what'd they do? Went away from the word and found a man that would say, it's fine. Itching ears. Well, I don't like what he says about tithing. Let me find a church that doesn't talk about it. Who just says, put in whatever you want to. go to church. Oh, I like that sounds of that because my life's busy and chaotic and I'd rather not hear about it. The things you're doing wrong are the things that are hurting you. That's what a shepherd does. Paul told Timothy, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, rebuke, correct, admonish, encourage. Tell people in which way their lives are wrong. Oh, that's a fun job for me. But I'll do it because he saved me. And I told him I'll preach it from the front page to the back page. I don't care how people look at me. I don't care what people think. I don't care how many people are in the seats. When I stand before Jesus, he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. Amen. Some people are going to stand before him. He's going to say, well, he's not going to have anything else to say. Why? Good and faithful won't follow it. Proverbs 20, verse 28 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. They that are led by the Spirit. The spirit of man. The spirit of man. Did you know you're a spirit? The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, you're a three-part person, three-part being. You are a spirit, you have a body, and you have a soul, a mind. But he says the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. What's that mean? That's how God's guiding you. Didn't you just say that in Romans 8, 14? For as many as are led by the Spirit. Hallelujah. For the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. So we know where the spirit of man's located. The spirit of man's not located between your ears. The inward parts of the belly, that's where the spirit of man is located. Right here, praise God, the center of man. The center of man. So remember that now, and that's the candle of the Lord. Now go with me to John chapter 14. Flipping around here a lot. John chapter 14. Hallelujah. And let's go to verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray or request the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him. Now look at this, but look what it says about the Holy Ghost. For he, the Holy Ghost, dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So the Bible says you are a spirit. Your spirit of man is located here. But the Holy Ghost also dwells on the inside of you. So on the inside of you right now as a Christian, many people don't know this because the Holy Ghost is not allowed in churches. We don't want any of that Holy Ghost business. Oh, you mean that God business? People push out of their churches the only part of the Godhead still left on this earth. God's not on the earth. Jesus is not on the earth. God's on the throne. Jesus has his right hand. But guess who the part of the Godhead that is on the earth? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is down here. And the Bible says he's in you. So you have on the inside of you right now your spirit and the Spirit of God. And the Holy Ghost, ladies and gentlemen, is not a lesser part of the Godhead. The Bible says these three bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. The Holy Ghost is not a lesser version, the minor version of God. He's God on the earth. And now look what it says. The Holy Ghost dwells in the Christian. Praise the Lord. So it says, obedience. Now go with me to John 16 and verse 7. I want to show you how this works now. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient or advantageous for you that I go away, Jesus saying to him. For if I don't go away, the Comforter won't come. Apparently, Jesus and the Holy Ghost couldn't be in the same room. Thank you, Kim Lai, for getting that joke. That was supposed to be funny. Jesus says, listen, I can't be here when the Holy Ghost comes, and he won't come until I leave. That's how family is sometimes. I'm not going to be. If they're going to be there, I'm not going. If they leave, I'll come. Sarcasm. That went over like a lead balloon. Apologize. He says, for if I don't go away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I'll send him unto you. And when he has come... Actually, go down to verse 13. Those other verses are good, but for what we're looking at tonight, we don't need to go there. Verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth has come, who's that? The Holy Ghost. He will, look at this now, he will what? Wait, what? Guide? For as many as are led by the Spirit. He will guide. Guiding and leading are the same thing. I guide Abby through the woods in the right places. I lead Abby through the woods in the right places. He will guide you into all truth. Now, here we go. This is what you have to understand. I'll explain this. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he hears. So the Holy Ghost on the inside of you is listening. Whatsoever he hears, he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. Now, let me break this down. So the Holy Ghost is listening for a voice. For instructions. Well, who's he listening from? The Father. Why? Because the Father sits in a perched position, doesn't he? And he sees, he says, don't make that decision, make that decision. Don't do that, don't go there, go there. No, that's not right, that's wrong. Stay away from that person, don't go that way. God can see it. God knows what's up around the corner, right? God sees it all. And God, if you sell out to him and say, Lord, I want your ways, guess what God's going to do? Tell you how to get on his ways. How's he going to tell you how to get on his ways? He's going to speak it. The Holy Ghost is going to hear it. And then the Holy Ghost says, and he will not speak of himself, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will show you things to come. Well, who's the Holy Ghost speaking to? Not our mind. Not our flesh. Why? For as many as led by the Spirit. The Spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching the inward parts of the belly, not the mind, not the emotions, not the feelings. So the Holy Ghost is going to hear from God. He's going to then speak it to your spirit. And then if you know how, and this is what we're going to learn in this series, how to learn to follow the Holy Ghost, hear the Holy Ghost, be sent to the Holy Ghost, you're going to get direction. See, a lot of you are stuck in situations of going around the same mountain. Being in a rut, and God's up in heaven saying, I can get you out of this. It's easy. Just make that turn, go that way, make that decision, and you're out. It's the truth. But God's up there, but see, people don't take time to acknowledge him, to learn, to hear, and then obey. God knows how to get you out of that family crisis. God knows how to get you out of that financial problem. God knows how to get you out of that situation. If you'll learn to follow the Holy Ghost, that's the only way he's leading you. Amen. The Holy Ghost will speak it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Again, real quick, go to 1 John 5 and verse 7. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7. There are some things no doctor, no counselor, no accountant will ever be able to fix. No medicine will ever be able to fix. But God is the ultimate fixer. There's nothing too hard for him. But nobody wants to go his way. For some reason, everybody goes all the other way. Majority in the body of Christ. I'm telling you, the majority of people don't want it God's way. Why? They don't follow his word. And they don't take time to follow the Holy Ghost. They make decisions based on what their flesh says. They make decisions based on what money says. They make decisions based on what fear says. They make decisions on what pressure says. And God's the whole time saying, I have the answer. I have it up here. Where did I say to go? 1 John 5 and 7. We just quoted this verse, but let's look at it to get drive it home. 1 John, for there's three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word. Remember, I said Father and Jesus, but it's talking about Jesus here. Why? Jesus, the Word, was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the Word. Three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Now, remember, the Bible says that God, the Holy Ghost, dwells in you. Dwells in you. Let me ask you a question. Does God know everything? Yeah. God's been to your future and back. God knows every struggle that you're facing right now. He knows every little turn and avenue to get you out of that thing. He knows how to take you from crisis to peace, from turmoil to stillness, from poverty to prosperity, from sickness to health. He knows how to do it. He's in heaven. He says, my path and my plan doesn't include all those things. I'll get you out of my path. What's he trying to do? It's kind of like when Abby goes off her own way. Come back over here. That's what people need to know. It's never too late for you. I don't just say, oh, to heck with her. No, I'm always saying, come back. Come back in my path. God's always saying, come back. Remember the prodigal son? What was the prodigal son? Didn't go daddy's path anymore. Did his own path. And what happened? The son found out it's not better outside of daddy's path. Some people need to learn the hard way, though. It's unfortunate. Some people need to get to the point of being sick and tired before they make a change. Well, prodigal son got sick and tired. Spent all the inheritance he had. Was living life worse than servants on his own daddy's farm. And he's off here. The other brother's living the blessing, and the dad's living the blessing on his path, and the other brother's over here, it's chaos. So what's he do? Comes back. Well, we see a picture of the father. The father didn't say, sorry, too late, to heck with you. The father saw him from afar off and went off that porch and ran towards him and said, yes, let's go. Right now, you can start new with God. Amen. But my point is, he knows it all, knows everything. And here, the Bible says, you have the know-it-all on the inside of you.
Amen.
But yet, what do? We look elsewhere. Why are we looking elsewhere? We're looking for people's opinions, for what feels good. What does our mind think about this? What is fear telling us? What is pressure telling us? And the whole time, you should be looking inward. That's where God is. And I'll close with this story. I love this story, because when I heard this story, these verses came up onto my heart. This was years ago I heard this. There was a person that had walked into a pawn shop, and they had sold old Nintendo games at this pawn shop. And he's kind of going through them, and there's some on the shelf behind, and he sees this one Nintendo game, and his eyes light up. And they're selling them for like 50 cents a piece. And he sees this, and his eyes get big. How much is that one? Oh, this is 50 cents. That's 50 cents? Yeah. Bought it. Turned around, put that game on eBay, and sold it for tens of thousands of dollars. Now, here's my point. People that know how to look in the right place are going to profit in life. The whole time, a winning lottery ticket was sitting right behind the clerk. The whole time, that game is sitting behind him. But guess what? That clerk didn't know how to look or where to look in the right places. But somebody came in and knew what to look for and profited. The Christian that will stop with their feelings, stop with money being their guide, stop with thoughts, stop with opinions from family members and friends, and so, and will go with the Word and the Spirit, are going to profit in life. Why? When you go the way of the Spirit, you go the way of God's way. And you know what that way is? The good life, the prosperous life, the still waters, the green pastures. I, as a pastor, get to see it all the time. Preach the same messages, preach the same word, the same opportunity for people. Some go God's way, some don't. And I have to watch, and I have to see the crumble, and I have to see the shipwreck, and I have to see. And it's, oh my gosh, it's so unnecessary, just like Abby laying there. The devil's after me. It's just really hard. It's only hard, Abby, because you didn't do it my way. So let's learn to do it God's way, following the Holy Ghost, being sensitive, and let's walk into all that he has for us. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for helping us tonight. Lord, the word is always good. When I say that, I don't mean the preaching or the delivery. Father, I mean the substance, the what we received out of your word tonight, Father. This is life-changing stuff. Lord, I can't wait to share some of the examples of when I didn't follow the Holy Ghost, and I should have, and it didn't lead to good things, and then times when I did follow the Holy Ghost, and it prospered me, and it blessed me, and it helped me. Father, I pray that everyone here, no matter where they're at, if they're endeavoring to follow God, if people are, I mean, they're off in the briars and the prickers of life, you're calling them back, Father. This message is a callback. This message is a, hey, change things. This message is a, get back over here. still a chance for you. I got good things for you. I pray that they would heed that calling. And Father, I pray that people would lay down doing things their way and say, you know what? I'm going to do things God's way. I'm going to endeavor to follow Him. Father, I pray that would burn in their heart, Lord, that they would get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And Father, we give you the praise and the glory for this message tonight. We thank you for the Holy Ghost. Let's just thank Him for the Holy Ghost. A lot of times we thank Him for Jesus and we praise the Father, but we need to be thankful for the Holy Ghost. Oh, Holy Ghost, I thank you so much for all that you've done, for all that you continue to do, for the help that you are in my life. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you in this church, and I welcome you in my life. We love you and we praise you. We bless you, Father. We glorify your holy name. Now, I know that everyone in this room has received Jesus, but if by chance somebody hasn't, and I'll just say it because of live stream, if you're here tonight and you've never received Jesus, or if you're listening, you never received Jesus, Jesus is the only way to heaven. He said so in John 14:6. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man can come to the Father except it be through me. So you got to go through Jesus. And if you're wondering, how do I go through Jesus? What does that even mean? Well, there's two qualifications or two conditions to get into heaven. Number one, you must believe in Him. Number two, you must receive Him. Because the devil has the first qualification. He believes in Jesus. Oh, he knows Jesus is real. But he never will receive Jesus. So the first qualification is, do you believe in Jesus? I don't mean with your head or your flesh. I don't mean you have to understand everything. But in your heart of hearts, do you believe that Jesus died and rose again? If you believe that, you've qualified and you've met the first condition. The second condition, the Bible says you must call on the name of the Lord. That's inviting Him in. Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. He will not barge the door down, knock the door down. He wants an invite, so He knocks. The next step is to receive Him. And the way you receive Him is by confessing Him as your Lord and Savior, confessing your belief in Him, and ask Him into your heart. And if you're here tonight, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Anybody want to receive that for the first time? I'm not surprised nobody in here. I know everybody in here is born again. But if you're listening online or in the future in the archive, you've never received Jesus and you want to, I'm gonna just kind of walk you through a prayer. And then when you log off, just get on your knees and pray this with all your heart. And just say, Lord, I do believe in you. I believe you died and rose again. And Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. I ask you to come in and save me. And if you'll do that, He'll do His job. And the Bible says you'll have eternity in heaven. You'll become a child of God. And the next step for you, I always say there's three steps to the best life ever. Number one, get saved. Number two, plant in a Bible teaching church. You know what plant means? When the doors are open, you're there. As much as you can be there, the doors are open, you're there. And you don't let silly things keep you away. Everybody that received great things in the Bible, there were sacrifice and there were effort involved. Well, yeah, life's going to get in the way. The devil's going to get in the way of coming to church. I'm saying this by utterance right now, by the Holy Ghost. The devil's going to get in the way. The devil's going to put obstacles in the way. Why? He knows it's your help. He knows it's your help. This is where you get your help. This is where you be a doer of the word. This is where scattered and faint, dejected, harassed, people are distressed, harassed, go away. What does the devil want? He wants all those things. Devil wants your life harassed. He wants your life to feel helpless. He wants your life to be full of distress. Yeah, there'll be times that it's tough. That's okay. You just make it a priority. Isn't it interesting? We make it a priority for our kids to be in school. We make it a priority to go to our jobs. We have not got a revelation that the house of God and being planted in the house of God is more important than a paycheck and more important than school. It's just the truth. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, Father, I pray that the person, that they receive Jesus, they'd find a church that teaches the Bible. We'll help you with that if you want to give me an email. I say there's three steps to the best life ever. Get saved, plant in church, and then just do the word. That's it. It's really simple. A lot of people make it hard, but it's not hard. Plant and do the word. Plant and do the word, and we'll help you with that. Shoot me an email, give me a phone call, and we'll get you set up. Let's just stand to our feet and worship Him tonight before we go. Now, I'm not just saying let's do this because this is what we do every week and let's just go through the motions. No, let's worship Him. We worship you. We praise you. Father, this is our help. This is our help. These are our answers. The best life ever is up ahead for us. It's on your path and your plan. So many people don't want to do it your way. They got religion in their head. They've been told things. Bring it back to the Word. The Word will keep you safe.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah. We thank you and we worship you. I thank you for changes. I thank you for help for people. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll see you Saturday at 6 o'clock. You're dismissed.